Gillingham are on the Wembley way.
Hello and welcome back to the Jules Fancast. You join me yet again for a very special episode as we welcome former Gillingham, Wolves, West Ham, Norwich and England winger Matt Jarvis. Matt, thank you very much for joining us.
Pleasure, thank you for having me.
We'll start at the very beginning of the career. You started at Millwall, didn't you, in the youth team?
Yeah, I was at Millwall for about 7-8 years as a kid, and then got released at the age of, 16, I think, when you're trying to get a youth team contract. I got released. And that wasn't particularly great as a young 16-year-old kid to get told you're not good enough, and it's really difficult. But luckily, I got their scout at the time was Bernie Dillon, who was at Gillingham, and he said get me straight over to Gillingham and start training, and away we go. But it was I have to say, sort of my confidence was completely hit. And I was terrible on trial, I have to say. So I was very, very fortunate, very pleased that Kevin Bremner at the time, they offered me a youth team contract. And then sort of things just sort of clicked for me, really.
As you obviously mentioned, as one door shut, another one opened for you. And obviously, you joined us. You said it come through, obviously, your scout at Millwall that was linked to Gillingham. You spent a year in our youth team and obviously excelled, which presented an opportunity for you to make your first team debut at 17 years of age.
Yeah, that's it. In my first year in the youth team was fantastic. As I said, it just sort of switched for me and my confidence was back. I loved it there. Obviously, all the lads were brilliant and I was staying in digs up there. And it just really went well in my first year. And then I went on pre-season with the first team. Second year, and sort of basically stayed with them, and I scored in my debut for the first team, and in pre-season, and then obviously got my opportunity to play in the first team in a competitive game against Sunderland at Priestfield, which was amazing.
You mentioned you was in digs. Am I right in thinking that you were living with Ryan Bertrand, who obviously has gone on to play for England like yourself?
That is correct, yeah. There was me, Ashley Carew, Leon Solomon, and we stayed at Ryan's house with his brother and his mum, yeah.
That must have been an interesting experience, because obviously Ryan was a few years younger than yourself. Did you think that both of you would end up playing for England?
Not at all, I have to say. I mean, Ryan was a lot younger. We were sort of 16, 17, and he must have been, I don't know how much younger he is than me. Maybe he was 13, something like that. But I knew he was in the academy, but we'd never really seen him play. Yeah, I mean, he was only sort of a kid back then. But obviously, we still speak now. I mean, he actually lives not far from me now.
Oh, really?
So I see him quite regularly. His kids go to the same school as mine.
Oh, brilliant! What a funny coincidence!
It very much is.
You obviously say the first team come for you at 17. What was it like walking into that dressing room at that age? Because obviously you were surrounded by the likes of Hess, who was in charge then, and Paul Shaw, and the likes of, many other characters in that dressing room.
Yeah, I mean, I was very lucky that they had a really good squad, a very experienced squad, and I have to say that they sort of welcomed me in. They sort of really gave me a good understanding of what it meant to be playing at the club and in the first team. And I had the likes of, as you said, Hess was obviously the manager, but he was a unbelievable pro. One of probably the fittest at the club. Then you had like Chris Hope, who was really a magnificent a character, a player for me. He really helped me. The same as Paul Shaw. You had Smith, Smudger in the midfield. Then you had Mark Saunders. And the list goes on. You had like Tommy Johnson, Rod Wallace, Mama Sidibe, that sort of crew. I think they were slightly later, actually, Tommy and Rod Wallace. Oh, no, they were at the same time. But, it's just some fantastic experienced players that really made me grow up, I think, quite quickly. You did have a mix in that change room. You did have the likes of like Danny Spiller, Leon Johnson, Andrew Crofts that were sort of a younger age that were flourishing at that level as well at the time.
I got the opportunity to speak to Hess the other day, and even when he was manager, he spoke to me off air about how highly you were thought of at that age and how far you could go on. So it was obviously from a very young age that everyone at Gillingham thought you could go and do massive, massive things in your career.
Well, that's very nice to hear. I mean, Hess was, what a fantastic player to start with, and he was a brilliant manager, and I thank him loads. He gave me my opportunity, and I still speak to him as well. It's really nice that I got my chance, and then they kept the faith with me, and obviously I hope I repaid that.
You certainly did, and obviously in your first season you featured 10 times for the first team. Was there at any stage where you felt like you had made it and you was there to stay?
This is a difficult question. I think once you get a taste for it, you always want more. And like for me, I've always been from young age, I think it's been drilled into me to keep working hard. You can never sort of relax, and you always want to improve. You can continue to improve. I still need to improve now. So that never sort of went through my head that I've made it. It went through my head that I've got into the first team. I want to stay here. For sure, that's the biggest thing. Once you get the taste for it, you want to stay and you want to play. And when you don't play, you want to ask why.
You obviously did stay there for a long time, and you certainly earned your stripes. And before the end of the season, Hess gave you a 3-year professional contract. I'd imagine you were buzzing, especially after not earning one of those at Millwall.
Yeah, absolutely delighted. At the time, it was just one of them that, I got offered it, and it was like, yeah, brilliant, sign it up. And I was delighted to just be playing football at the time. That was in the Championship for a club like Gillingham.
Obviously, the next season, which was 04 and 05, was one to forget on the whole for Gillingham fans as a campaign. But one of the bright sparks was obviously yourself that season. You finished on 7 goals at just 18. It must have been bittersweet, maybe, for you?
Definitely. You always want the team to do well, because it's the atmosphere it creates. It's everything that you're in every single day, the team spirit, the staff, the fans. You always wanted the team to do well. But on a personal level, I was delighted with how I was improving and playing. So I couldn't complain on my personal benefit, but obviously disappointing for the team.
Obviously, when I found out I was in this interview with you, you go back and research and look at videos, and I sort of forget how good we were at the back end of that season. How frustrating actually was it to be relegated on the final day at Nottingham Forest? Because we could have stayed up the game before that. You obviously scored the day we could have stayed up.
Yeah, totally. I remember the coach journey home after that game. It was just so depressing, so demoralising, because you knew that group was going to be split up. There was lots of older, experienced players that wouldn't be there. There was the younger players that potentially would be leaving. It was a horrible experience to go through. But I think for me, it made me stronger mentally. I think that sort of thing that happens to you really wakes you up and realises that it's not all fun and games. It's serious competition, and you need to refocus and make sure that you're doing the best you possibly can.
Yeah, obviously you must have learned a lot that season, because you did become more of a mainstay in the first team. I think you made 30 appearances that season as opposed to the 10 the season before. You also had to deal with a managerial change midway throughout the season, as obviously Andy resigned halfway through, and Stan Turnock come in. How influential, we've obviously touched on Andy, but how influential was Stan in your development?
I think he was very much an old school manager. I don't think I had a hernia, and I think he cancelled my operation 3 times.
Really?
It just wouldn't. He was one of them that it was like, no, you're fine. You carry on. You're only 18. You're playing. And by the end of it, I was in massive pain. I couldn't really train during the week. and then I just played on the weekends. And but you know, it, all things happen for a reason, because my last game that I played before I had the operation was against Sunderland away, and I played brilliantly for like 70 minutes until I come off because I was in bits.
Yeah.
And Mick McCarthy was the manager of Sunderland, and he signed me on the basis of he remembered me tearing the right back up. So these things were always, you know, when he cancelled my operation, so I didn't have it, and then I played on, and then Mick McCarthy signed me probably off the back of it. So,
wow.
You know, I can't complain.
All those years later, he still remembered. Obviously, the next season, Stan wasn't there. He also resigned. The next season was another one to forget, as Neil Cooper became manager. It wasn't... I'm trying to word it kindly. It wasn't the ideal start to the season, or like return to cups, as we were dumped out in the first round by Burska. Please try and talk me through that roller coaster of the start to the season and the FA Cup game.
Yeah, I mean, that FA Cup game, it still sort of haunts me to the day.
You obviously scored that day as well.
Yeah, I scored. Saundo scored, I think, as well, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And then I just remember it was like the smoke sort of started coming towards the last few, like 10, 15 minutes of the game. It was all foggy. Everything was getting rebounded, missed kicks. There was all sorts. And then I just remember them scoring and just being like, I cannot believe this has actually happened. Yeah, it's just absolutely incredible. But fair play to them, you know. That's the buzz of the cup.
So that season, obviously, as I said, was another one to get. We flirted with relegation again. Obviously, we were a division lower this time, so we were thinking back-to-back relegations. But we eventually finished 14th. But yet again, it was another brilliant season for you.
Yeah, I mean, that was sort of my season that I really sort of shone. I love going back and watching. There's so many things like on the internet or Instagram that people post the videos, and it was just a fantastic season personally for me. I loved scoring the goals, running down the wing, putting crosses in. It was just a really enjoyable time for me playing my football.
I must admit, I was obviously very young seeing you play. I'm 20 now. I remember my first memories of going to Jules was seeing you fly down the left wing at very high pace, cutting in on your right foot and scoring a lot of goals for Gillingham. I'm sure that's how a lot of people remember you at the Jules.
Yeah, that's just used to be sort of a trademark thing. Everyone used to know. Also, but it was that's what I like to do. I used to run down the left, cut inside, and shoot into the top right hand corner.
If I remember rightly,
I had to adapt my game, but that's how it all started.
If I remember rightly, you did score two identical goals. Actually, doing that against Port Vale that season.
Yeah, that one goal of the season came third. So. It was really good. And I remember sort of celebrations back then. I used to just jump on people. I remember when I scored my first goal, I jumped on Mama Sidibe. I mean, he's the biggest guy out there. And then I think it was Crofty that I jumped on the next one. It's just, I don't know what it was, but that was just used to what I used to do.
You just had no idea what to do at that point. Just sort of a leap into the air.
Yeah.
The next season was the 06-07, which was your last in a Gillingham shirt. We offered you a couple of new contracts at the club, but you did obviously have interest from Championship and Premier League teams. Obviously, your age was the perfect to make that move up, and obviously your form rewarded that sort of interest. Nottingham Forest and Plymouth both made bids for you that season, but you did stay and see out your contract and made your way into the League One Team of the Year. Did you feel like you were sort of beginning to almost outgrow the club or need to move on?
I wouldn't say I outgrew the club, no. I absolutely loved my time at the club. It was fantastic, and I still have fond memories. I've been back, and I had a fantastic reception. And yeah, I thank everyone there because they gave me the platform to start my football career. But I felt that I was really playing well. I just made the team of the league the year. I'd done extremely well that year and the season before when I was growing, and I just thought I for me personally, for my footballing career, I needed to move on.
Obviously, during the summer, you did finally get your move, and it was an absolute huge club in Wolves. We obviously made another several attempts to keep you, but please tell me like how that move came about, because that is such a huge club and a huge move for yourself.
Yeah, it's very strange. I just remember my agent messaged me, called me up and just said, look, you know, funny enough, I was actually going on holiday with my mates, and I was just had my bags packed. I was just going to the airport, and then my agent called me saying, right, you'll meet Mick McCarthy. I think this was like a Friday, and then he goes, right, you'll meet Mick McCarthy in Portugal on Sunday. I was like, what? I'm just about to go on holiday. I'm just going to the airport. So anyway, I didn't go. I then flew to Portugal on a Sunday. I met Mick. I sat down and had lunch with him. And he obviously, what a guy, like, what a presence, what an aura he has about him when you meet him. And we sat down and had a really good conversation. Straight after that, I was like, yeah, I definitely want to sign for Wolves. I flew back. I went straight up to Molineux to be shown around. And then pretty much, then just sort of agreed the deal. And I actually signed my contract. I signed my contract with Wolves and with the club secretary. I then got a lift with him to the airport, got on the same flight with him and his family.
Oh, wow.
To Marbella. Then he went obviously down one way and I went and met all my mates.
Oh, brilliant.
So it was just an incredible time.
Obviously, you did still manage to get out on New Orleans holiday then.
Yes, I did. Yeah, I was quite a few days late, but it was fine. It was all for a good cause.
I'm sure you had a lot of drinking to catch up on.
We had a celebration the first night.
You had an unbelievable career at Wolves. Maybe up there with some of the best times in your career. You obviously went on to win the championship with Wolves under Mick McCarthy, and he's a character that spoke about as he's maybe alluded to as sort of football dinosaur, but I'm pretty sure you'll stick up for him with this, that he's never had a lot of budget to work with anywhere he's been, and he's worked miracles with obviously Wolves winning the championship and keeping Ipswich up for as long as he did.
I'm a huge that is the biggest understatement. I'm a huge Mick McCarthy fan. I would go as far as saying he's the best manager I've worked for. He's just the biggest compliment I can give him. He's so honest. So whether you're playing, whether you're not, you know exactly where you are. He's on the training pitch every single day. The staff that he has around him are why he does so well. He's just really, really well drilled with everything. And that, I have to give him the biggest respect, because him and his staff, like Terry Connor, they developed me as a player and improved me, and obviously made me into the player I was and getting the England call.
How did Mick McCarthy reshape your game? Because you took your game to a whole other dimension at Wolves, especially that season they did win the championship.
Yeah, like I said to you, when I was at Jill's, it was great. I used to run down the left cutting side and score on my right. When I went to Wolves, he was just wanting me to play slightly different. You can't just be a one-trick pony. That was one of his things. You can't be a one-trick pony. You need to do more. So that's why I used to work so hard and be out early with Terry Connor doing my left-foot crossing, going down the line, putting a crossing with my left. Obviously, don't get me wrong, he still needed to practice coming in on my right and scoring. Positional play, I think that was another thing that I had to work on. Defending, being a team sort of... I always thought that's what I did anyway, but it becomes more apparent when you're in another, the league above, and other teams are very good at breaking you down. So you've got to be as good or if not better in your work and your team shape.
Obviously, the next season you're in your debut season in the Premier League. It doesn't seem that long ago. We're talking about you being released from Millwall. I mean, you're still very young at this point. Did you ever think, not that you'd get the chance to play at that level, because you obviously had the potential to, but did you ever think you'd get to play at that level at that age?
To be honest, I honestly could tell you that I didn't actually like, it didn't sort of go through my head, right, when I was 17, right, I need to be playing in the Premier League when I'm, 20 or, whatever age it was. Hmm. It was just, I was learning the game, I was dedicated to it to improve, and that was my stepping stones. I wasn't looking, right, I need to be aiming to play in the Premier League. I was looking at the here and now, and right, I need to improve this, I need to go and train and do this, I need to do that in the next game. So things just sort of slowly just unfolded, and for me it was down to a lot of hard work and some really good coaching and managerial work.
And you managed to score 4 goals just simply in the Premier League during your first season in the division, and won the Wolves Player of the Season from both supporters and players. You took to that league like a duck to water. It honestly looked like you was made to play in that league.
Yeah, I was it was just one of them things. I have to say, like, the biggest thing that I noticed from the Premier League to the Championship is in the Championship, you get less time on the ball, but it's sort of easier to do something with it. Whereas in the Premier League, you get more time on the ball, but it's actually harder to do anything with it, if that makes any sense. But for me, I just relished playing up against fullbacks that were international fullbacks, and I knew I had the pace, I knew I had the ability, and it was just, I had that no fear, because it was the first year in the Premier League, I didn't really know what to expect, and you just go for it, and people don't know, really, they don't know who you are, they don't really look and think, oh, okay, he does this, he does that, and you sort of get a free hit in that first year to go out and do it. Obviously, it gets more difficult the longer you stay there, because people sort of try and suss you out, and that's what Mick McCarthy did so well for me. He was like, right, now you've got to raise your game again, because people are sussing, what you do, and you need to improve.
Obviously, as you say, like, your first season in the Premier League, you're somewhat of an unknown quantity, aren't you?
Yeah.
But as you say, the longer you went on, the less of an unknown quantity you were, especially when your form at Wolves obviously earned you an England call-up. I'm pretty sure in saying you're the only former Gillingham player in my lifetime that's gone on to earn an England cap, other than Ryan Bertrand, who didn't actually play for the first team. How did that come about? That must have been a surreal feeling.
It certainly was. I remember I scored. We had the early kickoff against Villa at Villa Park on the Saturday. I think it was 12 o'clock kickoff. We won the game 1-0, and I scored a volley. So it was like a huge win against your rivals, and for me personally, it was great to get the goal, because I knew I was in the provisional squad. Because you find out that you're in the provisional squad, which is like a 30-man squad. So I was just delighted that I was in that. But then I remember on the Sunday night, I travelled back home on the Saturday, and then I travelled back up to Wolves on the Sunday afternoon, early evening, and then I get a text message just as I walk into the kitchen, and it was like from the FA to say, I've been called up. And I'm sort of looking at my wife, we're going, rah, like, surely this is a wind up. And then about a few minutes later, I then get a call from the saying, look, it's not a wind up, you've been called up, they're going to be releasing it on the Sky Sports News in the next sort of half an hour, if you want to tell like your family. And so I was like, oh my, and then just like scrambling to try and tell my mum and dad, my brother, and obviously my wife was telling hers. It was just such an amazing and surreal moment, but absolutely incredible.
Obviously, you fully earned your right to be there, and we had some phenomenal wingers at that time. You made your debut against Ghana. Talk me through it. Wembley Stadium, packed.
For me, it's just like, I'm just so, I'm so pleased that my debut was at Wembley in front of 5,000 fans, and the Ghana fans were incredible as well, and all of my friends and family were there. You don't understand how many people messaged me or like, just say I was there, like Jules fans, Wolves fans, everyone just messaged me and saying I was there at the game. I could have played away somewhere that no one was able to get to, but I was at Wembley in front of 85,000 fans, just in absolutely incredible. It's a dream come true.
And yet, a few years earlier, you were at Priestfield playing against the likes of Crewe and Port Vale.
Yeah, well, that's
how football goes.
That's it, yeah, that's it.
In 2012, you made a huge switch yet again to another huge club. This time, record-breaking. You moved to West Ham United, undisclosed fee, but definitely their record fee at the time. You signed a 5-year deal. You spent 3 seasons in London. How would you sum up your time there?
Just 2-3 years were really good. The first season I put in the most crosses in Europe and the most successful crosses, as in someone's got on the end of them in Europe. So for me, like in my positional wise, I thought that it went really well. We finished 10th in my first year, which is an incredible achievement. Then we finished 12th and 13th or something, I think, was the following year. So it was a success for a team that's just come up from the Championship. The following 2 seasons were a bit disappointing for me, really. I don't feel like, you know, the shape of the team changed. I didn't get the opportunity to play as much as I would have liked. So it was more frustrating for me. And then it was just a point where I didn't want to play. And a new manager came in, Philip Kelly, and although he said he didn't want me to go, and I played in every game that he started the season with, he just said he couldn't guarantee that I would be playing. So I didn't want to go through another season of not playing. So I made the sort of decision to go to Norwich. It was deadline day. It was like that last few minutes before the window closed. But I went on loan to Norwich.
Yeah, obviously. And your time at Norwich started so well.
I have to say, yeah, that's probably the fittest I've ever been. The shape I was in, you know, it was just incredible. When I first went to Norwich, I was flying. I was obviously scored on my debut, scored on the second game. We were doing really well in the league. I was putting in some really good performances for them. And then I go and try and block tackle Yaya Toure. And the rest is history.
He's a big man.
Incredibly.
So I can't imagine how painful that 50-50 would have been for you. But obviously you had some good years with West Ham. You started very well with Norwich. At West Ham, are you sort of scratching your head and thinking, am I going to get another go in the England team here? Because obviously, as you said, the more you get, the more you want. Like, you must have been itching to get back in the England team.
Well, that was sort of one of the big reasons why I left Wolves at the time and went to West Ham, because I wanted to get back in the England squad. And the season that I left, I think it was the Euros or maybe the season before. Oh, I think it was that season that I was on the preliminary squad to go, and obviously didn't get there. So it just makes you more hungry, and you want to go, and you want to get back in. And that was one of the reasons I did go back to West. I went to West Ham because that would give me the platform to play again in the Premier League.
Well, see, it was Capello you played under at England level, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
Did you ever have any like sort of discussions with him about maybe getting back into that England squad, or was it very you heard from him when you was in and that was it?
Yeah, I didn't really have too much conversation with him, unfortunately. But I have the utmost respect for him, and I'm absolutely delighted that a manager of his quality thought that I earned the right to play for my country. As you said, they had some unbelievable wingers there. You had Stuart Downing, Ashley Young, Theo Walcott, Aaron Lennon. You know, all these. Milner, all these players that were sort of, I would say, a bigger club, and I got the opportunity to play.
I'm going to try and race through the rest of your career, because obviously I understand you've not got too much time. Obviously, Norwich, brilliant start. Must have been frustrating, because obviously it was halted for you by injury, wasn't it?
Absolutely gutted, I have to say. You know, as I said, yeah, it started so well. I was in such good shape. Block tackle Yaya Toure, and it all sort of fell to pieces for me, really. I'd done my medial, I rehabbed it, got myself back. It wasn't right. I played the full season. Pre-season, it was killing me. I went to the knife and they said that it wasn't attached properly, so that's why it was sore. So I had my medial reattached.
Oh dear.
And then got back fit first training session, went inside, had a shot, stumbled, smashed on my ankle. I ripped my ankle apart and then sort of just didn't want to stop. I wanted to carry on because I've been out for so long. And then it got worse and worse and worse, and all the scans were saying there was nothing wrong, it was just a bit of fluid. So I carried on, and then I got to a point I couldn't do it anymore and had an operation just to see what it was wrong, and all my cartilage like basically fell off when you touched it. So I had to have a microfracture at my ankle, which was not planned. It was supposed to be about 4 to 6 weeks, you know, from the op, and it turned out to be 8 months. Which was horrendous, 8 months, which is also when I got to the point that I was in so much pain that I didn't think I was, you know, at some point didn't think if I could carry on, it was going to be that bad. But I never once wanted to stop. So I carried on and carried on and carried on, and it just took a long, long time. And mentally, it's the worst sort of time of my whole life, I'd say. My only bonus on that is that me and my wife had our son, and he was a shining light in the horrible situation that I was in.
At least, obviously, you can take the positives out of that situation, and mentally, would you say it has made you stronger having to go through it?
Yeah, I'd say it has mentally made me stronger, because I've been through it not once, but I've been through it three times. I had my medial reattached, then I had my microfracture in my ankle, and then I picked up IT band friction syndrome straight after the ankle because of the operations. They were all on my right side, so I then started walking, being different to pick up other things. But mentally, I got myself through it with the help of my friends and family. Obviously, the teammates as well, and I was, you know, as hungry as ever to prove that I still can play and that I wanted to play. So I'm still young.
Obviously, skipping forward a few more seasons, you couldn't quite get back in the side at Norwich, and you were advised to go out on loan, and you ended up at League One Walsall, didn't you? You played against us at Priestfield, hat trick of assists. One of the best individual performances I definitely see that season at our ground. You received an unbelievable reception as you were subbed off. That day must have been crazy for you coming back.
Crazy. This is the first time I've ever played against a team that I've left.
Really?
So yeah, first time. So it was just a really. Well, for me personally, it was an amazing day. Obviously, it wasn't the result that you wanted, but for me, it was just an incredible day. I loved going back to see everyone, especially to be able to show my appreciation to the fans, and to see, like, obviously, Steve Lovell was the manager. Obviously, he was there when I was there. Ian Cox was there. Mark Patterson was there. So it was just a real nice for me to go back and see everyone, and obviously to put in a really good performance is the icing on the cake.
I remember being there that day and obviously being among friends, and we were watching you and thinking this is one of the best individual performances we've seen all season. Will he come back next season? Can we see Matt back at Priestfield and tearing it up back where he should be at Gillingham? That could have happened this summer, couldn't it?
I would have loved it to happen. I got a call from the manager to ask me to come down and train. I said I would like an extra sort of week to just get myself ready, because I hadn't trained with a team for a long time, so I wanted an extra week just to be sharp. He then called again to say, look, can you come in? So I sort of came in. After a few days, I trained for the first 2 days, and I have to say I thought I did really well. The manager was very happy with me, was really impressed. He said that he would obviously have to speak to the chairman because of my injury record, but really would like to do something. I was then supposed to come in on a Thursday. That was the Monday, Tuesday. The Wednesday was off. I was supposed to come in on Thursday. My dad, completely out of the blue, had to go and have a quintuple heart bypass.
Oh wow!
So it was really out of the blue. So I just messaged to say that I couldn't come in. And then on the Monday, I called and just sort of said, you know, do you still want me to come back? And I sort of never really heard from him.
So oh, really?
It was a bit disappointing. I was I really thought it would be the perfect homecoming to come back and play.
I think,
and unfortunately, it just never materialised.
I think me and many other Jules fans would have loved you to come back, and as you would have said, this would have been the perfect homecoming for you. And was that definitely where your heart was set for this summer?
It was, yeah. Just because I think you saw my fitness, you saw my ability was still there. I'm still only 33, but I was still only just turned 33. I was in really good shape. I'd worked so hard to get myself back. I'd trained really well with the team. I think the lads were you would tell you exactly the same thing. I was very gutted that it didn't actually happen, because it just would have been perfect. I could have come back to where it all started for me and been able to live at home, and it would just been the best way to get back into playing.
I'd imagine the next time you heard from anyone at Jules was when you was asked to come back and do a lap of honour for the Gillingham West Ham game.
That is correct, yeah.
Wow, that's right. That's actually mental. Considering you were on trial in the summer, that must have been brilliant. Obviously, two former clubs, one lap of honour. You got a fantastic round of applause that night.
It was brilliant, absolutely brilliant. I couldn't ask for anything better, and I was really, my brother and my nephew came with me, and at the time, the guy Phil, the commercial guy, said, "You know, does he want to come on with you?" So, I mean, he remembers it like it was absolutely incredible to get the reception that we got walking round, and we got to, both of us got to hold the FA Cup, which we don't get to do very often. So it was just a fantastic day, and to show my appreciation to both sets of fans, a very sort of an emotional but amazing day.
Just to wrap up, because I know you do have to go soon. You now find yourself at Woking. How's it going there for you? I know that obviously the season has been halted by coronavirus, but you started brilliantly, scoring with only your second touch for the club, didn't you?
Yeah, I mean, it was just one of them things. I was, I wasn't ready to finish football. I wanted to carry on. I got a call from Martin Tyler, who's the assistant manager there, who I did not know was the assistant manager. I thought he was calling me up asking me to do something for Sky, but it turns out he was not. So it was great, and the manager's Anna Dalton, who's fantastic, and he, I grew up around the corner from there. I played for my Sunday league team is pretty much backs onto the stadium, so he did the whole showing me around everywhere, showed my picture up in these different bits and pieces, but I didn't need that much convincing. It just sort of worked for me. It's local, I'm around the corner, it's a great club, family club. It means that I can continue to play football locally. I've just had another baby, so I've got two kids now.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you, yeah. My daughter's been born into the incredible events, but so she was born and I played the next day.
Oh, wow.
Drove straight from the hospital so it was just perfect to just play locally, keep being able to play, and to give myself the opportunity to do the media stuff as well, because it's part-time football, and I can continue to do a lot of media, as I said, the punditry and the radio, so it just gives me a bit of flexibility.
Brilliant. Well, thank you, Matt. That obviously concludes our interview. Is there any thing you want to say to Jules fans or anyone related to Jules, just to finish off?
Well, I would absolutely, as I've said, I absolutely loved my time at Jules. They were just incredible fans. It's a great club. I wish them all the best. I wish I could have come back and played, and I just thank them for all of their messages, their help and their support over the years.